in the aisleway.
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the East-West Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Seidelman. We have a big night of news to talk about. Joining me, as always, is from the North in Canada, the very lovely, vivacious, and soon-to-be Tyler Black's ex-wife, Trista Timpson.
Yay!
And on the East Coast, ladies and gentlemen, is a woman who, one look at her, you'll say, how in the hell did somebody manage to get drunk enough to sleep with Paul Heyman? Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Heyman.
Excuse me? Niece, not daughter, niece.
I don't know. Well, oh, yeah, that's right. Damn.
That's all right. I have news about my dear uncle as well, if you haven't heard it yet.
Well, anyways, we have a big night to talk, some big news to talk about, and let's just say hardly any of it is good.
Which sucks in the wrestling world, but makes it for good radio shows.
Like this one.
You know, it alleviates our boredom. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start at the beginning of the week with one of the biggest bombshells, and this was on Tuesday. The WWE has severed ties with Ohio Valley Wrestling, which has been one of their, actually has been the premier developmental territory ever since, what, 2000, 2001?
Pretty much, because they had severed ties with Heartland Wrestling Association as late as 2002, because I know they were not a developmental when I went to see them in 2003. This is where a lot of people who have come up in the last 3 or 4 years have gone through. Batista trained there as Leviathan. Cena trained there. CM Punk trained there. We have some up-and-comers that you'll be seeing on TV very soon. Alice Davon will be probably debuting right after WrestleMania. Who else have I seen that's gone up since then?
I have a list right here of all of the OVW wrestlers that will be going to Florida Championship Wrestling. I have wrestlers. I have some staff members here as well.
All right. Let's hear some of this list.
Andrew Vane.
Lloyd Boy. And the Vein should be spelled V-E-I-N. Next.
Atlas DeBone, who you talked about earlier.
Very charismatic, very active. I really think he'll go far.
We have Charles Evans.
Hammer Evans has a military gimmick that would serve him very well if he goes to SmackDown.
Yes. We have everybody's favorite, Colt Cabana.
Yay! Absolute yay. Louder, louder, he's awesome. There we go.
Hit the wrong one. We have Drew McIntyre, who you've seen on SmackDown like a month or so ago.
And he's popped up. They don't think they can figure out what they want to do with him. He's actually on the Raw roster right now.
And you're saying something, Trista?
No, I just heard of the name before, and I've seen him, like, twice, and then that was it.
Okay.
I haven't really seen much of Drew McIntyre.
We have, then we have no association to the person who does American Justice, James Curtis.
You might know him better as Casey James.
Oh, right.
Oh. I wonder what happened to Aaron the Idol. Oh, yeah, Aaron Stevens got released.
He got released last year. I think I was at his very last show.
Then we have Jay Bradley.
Midway Monster Jay Bradley has been a periodic heat jobber. He has come up a couple of times. He's an excellent heel.
Okay.
He's got some great potential.
Then we have Katie Lee. who you'll see next week on Raw.
Oh, they're doing this on Raw? I thought they were threatening to do this on SmackDown.
No, they're doing it on Raw.
Poor kid.
We'll get to that later on in the show.
Right, if we have time. Keep moving.
Oh, we'll have time. We have Lupe Vizcarra.
Lupe is a 19-year-old Mexican phenomenon. This guy is absolutely gorgeous. Trisha, you need to look his picture up. The man goes on forever. It is just a beautiful sight.
What's his name?
Lupe
Vizcarra.
I'm going to Online World of Wrestling now.
And Trisha, go to my MySpace and go look him up.
After I'm done this puzzle, then I'll be all over it.
Or you can go to my website, NikkiHeyman.com, and go look on my OVW page.
I'm all over it.
Then we have Matt Sydal.
Yay!
Yeah, big, another big yay. I cannot wait to see him. I want him on TV so bad, I just don't know what they're going to do with him. He's not he's not big, but he's all over the place.
I think he'd make a good triple threat tag team partner with London and Kendrick.
That wouldn't be a bad place for him.
And then we have Mike Krull.
Who?
Exactly.
He hasn't gone too far. He was OVW champion before Matt Sydal. He has the dubious honor of losing to Funaki at a dark match while he was still OVW champion. I will never let him hear the end of that.
And then we have Paul Burchill. Of course, everybody knows who he was. Pirate Paul Burchill.
And he spent most of his time in OVW tag teaming with another British import, a gentleman named Stu Sanders, who I think they're still working on.
I think Stu Sanders is already in FCW in Florida already.
Okay, because he was at the last show, at the last OVW show in Cincinnati.
Okay. Then we have, actually the only, another female on here, we have Rocca.
It is Rocca.
Rocca.
She's back again, too.
She's been playing valet to Mike Krull. She's actually decent in the ring, and she's gorgeous.
She's very pretty. Diva Search Girl. Did Kung Fu.
Right, but she's coming up the right way, and I will forgive that.
Okay. Then we have Sean Spears.
How do I describe him? Reggie Mantle? Great, wiry, weaselly kind of heel. Tagged with Colt Cabana for a little bit in a Matt MVP-style tag team. He's got some potential. I really like his presence.
And then we have everybody's favorite double E lover, Vladimir Kozlov.
Jokingly nicknamed Coleslaw by some of the smart-tastic fans that sit in the crowds at OVW. Worked as a tough under Mike Krull.
Right. And then we have Goose Mahoney as referee.
And he's refed for OVW forever.
Okay. Kevin Burdick, Kevin Forn, Johnny Jeter, they're there too. I think Justin LaRoche is under WWE developmental, and he's getting sent down soon.
Okay. I'm
Rob, you had your speakers up too loud again. I'm getting hardcore feedback over here.
Could it be me?
Possibly.
Well, I don't think it's...
Fixed.
Is that it?
Yeah.
We're good to go. Sorry.
Okay. Go on.
Well, here's the entire list. We forgot, see here. We got everybody. Oh, Silas Young.
He's new. I've got nothing.
Okay. Timmy Baltimore, the announcer, is under WWE contract. He's going to go.
Okay. Good.
Kevin Keenan.
who is already down there.
Right. And then the inactive talent, which is under WWE contract, we have Matt Capitelli. We know about his situation.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been an update about him lately?
I've heard nothing, and you know, I had the right person to ask when I was in Cincinnati last month. I actually ran into Johnny Jeter.
Oh wow!
And he was pretty much there to observe. And I asked him, when are they going to put you back on TV? Because outside of the squad, all you've been doing is here and there since at least 2003. And he said he wasn't sure if anything was going to happen yet. So I should have asked him. He's a great wrestler, and he's a great guy.
Right. And then we also have Plasma.
I got nothing.
He's expected to debut soon. He was expected to debut in OVW, but he's under contract, so he'll debut in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Chris Rombola.
Don't know that one either.
Okay. Now, everybody thought with the release that Al Snow would be going as well. However, it was announced later on in the week that Al Snow has been released.
Again.
Yeah, that would be an again. That makes absolutely no sense to me, because granted they have Skinner and Billy Kidman down south. But I would think that, you know, at least in the transition, that Al could go down there for a month or two and just, you know, get everybody settled in.
Right. Actually, according to PW Insider, the trainers are Steve Kern, Tom Pritchard, Billy Kidman, and a fourth name PW Insider has yet to confirm will be the trainers. It will not be Al Snow. However, I do have a suspicion that, well, who knows who they're going to use as a trainer.
Johnny,
maybe Mike Rotundo would be a good fit down there.
That wouldn't be bad. Steamboat's a road agent.
So is Rotunda, but I can see him settling back in Florida. He pretty much made his name in Florida.
Actually, I've got another guess for you. Dusty Rhodes.
That could work. Dusty in Florida.
I believe they still have residence down there, and Dusty has been on the road with them for a little while, and I think his tired old bones don't want to travel too much anymore.
Right.
It's a semi-retirement, if you will. Am I getting booed?
For the bad Dusty impersonation.
You're right. It was a very bad Dusty impersonation. I will not do that again.
Good.
Yep. Who's there?
Probably the pizza guy. Or somebody wants me to convert to Christianity again.
It's probably Jehovah's Witness.
Oh.
We don't want any.
For those who want to call in, it's 646-716-9678. And victim, you are on the air.
God bless you, my child. Did you order a pizza in the name of the Lord?
Dear God.
It's the return of the webmaster. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to this guy. He was the original person behind the East-West Wrestling Connection, or when I did wrestling originally, as part of the Webmaster's Corner. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tyler Brown.
Hello, yes, thank you, everybody. Just got back from an exciting game. PlayCafe.com, airing every night, Monday to Friday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's game featured a very big win, as far as they have a prize board scratch-off thing, and the top two prizes are $1,000 in cash and Nintendo Wii. And ever since they started, they have not been able to give one away. Well, tonight was the big night. Someone won a Nintendo Wii. That was awesome. So, needless to say, somebody's going to have a very, very nice weekend.
Yes, and your thoughts on the OVW situation? Since actually,
yes.
You're the one who actually gets OVW television.
Yeah. Well, basically, what's going on right now is that, as far as Ohio Valley goes, the fact of the matter is, after good old Paulie left because of him not being able to agree with the management on certain things and not letting Paulie do Paulie's thing, what apparently happened was after Paulie had left, OVW decided to no longer sell DVDs of their shows anymore, especially their weekly shows. So, you know, that kind of pissed me off because I just found that out today, that they are no longer selling their shows on the website. They're now focusing more on the sub-organization as far as DVD sales go, and it's Derby City Wrestling, or DCW, I think it is. And they're putting
DCW.
Yeah, and they're putting more focus on it and selling the DCW merchandise, which, I mean, they seem like they have good talent, but unfortunately I've never seen it, and it airs on the same channel that I used to get ECW on, original ECW, which was a channel called WYCS down here in Kentucky. I don't like it so well. It's trying to, I guess, be like a up OVW, but it's not all that great, you know. For God's sake, just bring back sell the OVW tapes, sell the DCW tapes. But I guess they'd be afraid that the OVW tapes would outsell the DCW tapes, and then, you know, DCW, I guess, would go under or whatever, who knows. So, yeah, that not selling the weekly TV shows on OVW's part, not the greatest idea, considering they have a lot of talent. But people can't see it unless, you know, they find YouTube videos, which there really aren't any of OVW. So they would just really need to get back to selling tapes, because if they really want to get the word out about Ohio Valley Wrestling, you know, put the weekly shows back on DVD. I mean, I don't get what would be the big deal for doing DCW and OVW, putting all the tapes. And it's not like they were going at such a high price that people couldn't afford them. They were all going for $10 a DVD. So, I don't know what's going on there, but they should really just restore themselves back to selling the weekly OVW DVDs. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to get it, but for those who aren't and want to see great wrestling when WWE sucks, TNA sucks, you know, that particular week or whatever, you know, you got Ohio Valley, where most of these people were raised and, you know, brought up all these superstars. So, like I said, I don't get it, you know. Politics are a pain in the ass. Politics suck. And if it weren't for the differences between the McMahons and Paulie Heyman, I mean, goddamn, we'd see Paul motherfucking Heyman running ECW, not WWECW. But they feared Paulie Heyman, so in the words of a famous internet commercial, they can shove it up their ugly ass. That's my rant, and I'm sticking to it.
Tyler, how close are you to Louisville, if I may ask?
I'm in Louisville, actually.
Well, then, if you could find your way down to Shepherdsville Road this Wednesday if you're not working, would you be willing to drop in on them and see if you could find out some more information? I'm going to be attending their once-a-month deal in Cincinnati tomorrow, and I have it on good authority that a lot of people are still going to be there, since it's going to take time to get all these guys packed up and moved to Tampa.
So what? So they're doing the developmental thing in Tampa. They're no longer focusing on OVW, or what's...
Well, all the developmental talent are being packed up and shipped down. OVW is not closing its doors for good. It's just
right.
Not being support. It's not
WWE.
Being. Yeah, WWE is not going to have them as a developmental league. So they are going to lose a lot of faces and a lot of reasons why I go there.
Right.
But I'm going to do some snooping around while I'm at the Cincinnati show, and I was going to suggest that you poke your head in at the Shepherdsville Road location,
right,
just to see where everything stands.
Yeah. Well, that's what kind of made me worried, was when I saw the fact that, you know, they're cutting their ties or whatever with the WWE. I'm kind of sitting there going, like, what the fuck are you all doing? You know, I mean, yeah, Tampa's a great place. I mean, that's, you know, what happened in Tampa? Nothing really comes to mind except for Razor Ramon. As far as the state of Florida, Razor Ramon and Paul, Pee Wee Herman jacking off. That's a whole other story there.
guys, ladies, gentlemen, I think we should move on. This is only an hour show. We spent 20 minutes talking about OVW. We have some bigger news also. The cancellation of SmackDown on the CW.
Dun, dun, dun.
That, to me, was kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was out of nowhere. However, they've been constantly been pulling good ratings around the 2.6, 3.0 range.
Right.
And that's kind of expected for the CW. However, it is owned by, half of it's owned by CBS and the other half's owned by Warner Brothers, so collusion.
I thought it was CBS Viacom. It's
possibly.
My understanding. It was my.
Who's got
it was
the
my
dog?
That's on Tyler. That's on Tyler's end.
Oh.
Tyler, shut those dogs up, or I'll stick my cats on them, and they will eat them.
Oh, it's
meow.
I've got two Chihuahuas, but they are a little hyperactive. That's all it is.
And I have two 15-pound cats.
I have two 70-pound chocolate labs.
Oh, that'd be even more fun.
That's delicious.
They will lick you to death.
Oh, no.
And I have to say, Tyler, that when you called in, I heard Tyler Buh, and I got all excited thinking it was Tyler Black, and it totally wasn't. So thanks for getting my hopes up tonight.
Oh, but I always love getting you excited. Oops.
Trista, just think of Matt Sydal. And think of that gorgeous shooting star press of his.
I'm doing a puzzle right now, actually, as I listen to everyone.
Okay, we got something on the phone from Peck2105, who says that the WWE may have pulled the plug on the deal with the intent to move everything to the NBC Universal umbrella, meaning NBC, the official NBC network and all of the cable subsidiaries therein.
I could make a really bad joke about them going to Bravo, but I'm not going to make it.
Hey, that would be a good excuse to bring back Rico Constantino. I mean, hi there.
Boo this man.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that really a positive thing for the show? Call in with your opinions, and then we'll boo you after.
Nah.
Sorry, it was. Yep.
No, that was for a really bad joke.
Vince will probably not try to put all of his shows all in one place. I know it would probably be easier for him, but he's having enough trouble right now with USA and what's her name in charge saying
Bonnie Hammer.
Had a great idea. Well, Bonnie, you know. Good Lord, she's even got a wrestler's name. She wants to run the show, which of course Vince hates.
Well, actually, I've heard that she's submitting ideas to the show, and Vince is just waving them off. However, since Bunny Hammer owns USA,
right,
and has brought them back, and plus, let's face it, ECW is going to die come December because the ratings are abysmal at best.
I blame Vince.
Yeah, well,
in so many ways.
Well,
in so many ways.
Yeah.
Okay, but we won't get to that. Let's talk about SmackDown now. Although they've constantly pulled good ratings now that they're gone, where would you see SmackDown ending up come the end of the television season, which would be in September?
I think they'll slide sideways a bit. CW has a site, has another group called My Network.
Yeah.
And they have just as broad a distribution as CW, maybe even more so. They cover, I think it's 96%.
Yeah, just patches, some parts of Iowa they don't cover.
Yeah.
And they actually cover Hawaii, which, oh, by the way, CW does not. I have a friend in Honolulu that'll confirm that for me. If they can get on My Network, it's not, they wouldn't be leaving that umbrella entirely, but at least they'd be somewhere where just about everybody could see them.
Right.
I understand. Now, would you keep the Sean Fraser, or would you move it back to the original Thursday night lineup?
I think they should have it on Tuesdays and air it live.
I don't know.
It would be hard to do because I don't think my network has capabilities to run live shows.
Right.
And they have the great Kali on the roster. There's no way they can go live.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Nothing.
My smirk is showing.
Well, that's true. A while back, they never did live shows. They even did pay-per-views with Great Khali. But you got to admit, he has gotten a little bit better over time. A little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
He somehow moved from a 1.2 on a scale of 1 to 10 to like a 3 in wrestling skills.
He actually falls down now.
Yeah.
That alone brings him up to a 4.
I'll give him a 3. I only see his pay-per-view matches, and I think that's when he really puts the attempt into it. So I'll give him a 3.
So where were we? Where is SmackDown going to land?
Yeah, where would SmackDown land?
Well, my network, you know, most networks know that Friday night is a really hard night to get any kind of ratings.
Right.
So if my network, depending on what, I don't even know what my network shows right now on Friday nights.
Movies.
Then they'll automatically double their Friday night ratings.
Yeah.
Easily.
Okay. Trista, where do you think they'll wind up? I know you're from Canada and all, but...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't know, like, what I can say about this, because we get it on the score, so, like, wherever it ends up in America, it's just going to stay the same here in Canada. So, because I'm in Canada, I don't even know what kind of stations you guys have, so I'm like, it's going to be on HBO, and people are like, no, it's not, so... I really have no idea where it could end up for you guys, but it's going to stay on the score here. So, like, no matter what happens, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on the score.
Okay. My prediction is it won't land on my network, and they would be lucky if it ended up on NBC. They could probably put it on Saturday nights there.
Yeah.
It could be like SmackDown Saturday night. And if they can't do that, they have to move it to a cable channel. Bravo wouldn't be that too bad of an idea. They have wrestling in the UK on their Bravo. Their TNA over there on their Bravo network.
To be honest, though, I think it would feel a little out of place, you know, between all the fashion shows and all the other weird things. You know, SmackDown would just seem a little out of place.
I don't know where they are.
I was going to make it. I could make a Daily Show joke about them going to the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine all the romance storylines that would start if they go to the Hallmark Channel?
Ugh. The two that SmackDown's running already are bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, let's see what else. Yeah. I can see them going to Bravo. I could maybe see them doubling up on USA.
That'd be cute. SmackDown and Raw can hold hands after. Good job on your show tonight, guys. Aw, thanks, Red Team. It'll be cute.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to need insulin at this rate.
And then we have CNBC and MSNBC. We definitely can't see them going there.
No.
It'd be fun on MSNBC so that Keith Olbermann could be hired on as a commentator. He'd be worlds better than Mike Adamley. At least Olbermann will know their names.
Yes, who could forget Jess Hardy?
I'm glad I didn't hear that when I was at the Rumble. I am so glad I didn't hear that when I was at the Rumble.
Well, I give Mike Adamley a pass there. That was his first night.
But still, I mean, just
and live.
Seems you know, if you're gonna be given a job like that, you know, at least go down the roster and be able to pronounce the names. It's a very simple thing, I think. You know, especially a first and last name, Jeff, very simple American name. Hardy, a little off, but still traditional name. Nothing really complex about it. You know, I can understand if he has problems with horn swallow or you know, one of the other weird names. But
it's not like he had to. But it's not like he had to say Michael Shane Hickenbottom or Paul Levesque.
Yeah.
Even I get that one wrong.
Yeah.
Holy smarkiness.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Evil Doctor Levesque.
Here's the thing with Mike Adamly. He was not known to be sort of a pitch guy. He was known to do either commentary or be an interviewer, which he has adeptly done on not only the XFL, but on American Gladiators in the past few years, and doing play-by-play and other hosting duties in Chicago on NBC Channel 5 over there. Now, that said, they just threw him into a situation where it probably isn't win-win anyways, especially for a man of his advanced skills and talent. The situation that he's got in right now is perfect for a young, charismatic guy, not somebody who's around 60 years old.
Well, that's what, but you see Steve Romero got kicked out pretty quick, too, so... Steve Romero. He showed up one night, and I swear to God, I looked at him, and I said, "You're a weatherman. What are you doing here?" Hark.
Hello.
We are saved by the bell.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Rob, it's me. I just switched over to Skype instead of using my cell phone.
Okay.
You sound a whole lot better, Tyler. Thank you.
No problem. I just got my new headset today, so I figured might as well put some good use to it.
Okay, I hung up your cell phone then.
Thank you, sir.
Or mine, I'm going to get mine installed.
As an offside note from wrestling, got a weird thing of edition of Blender this week where Britney's on the cover half naked, and the headline is Britney Spears has lost her kids, her fans are underwear her mind. How will it end? You know what? I could make a really dirty joke there, but I won't. Let's move on.
Please don't. This is a wrestling show, not a celebrity gossip show. Save that for WrestleCrat Musical Showcase, please.
Wrestling gossip, so we can't talk about Hogan. Okay, keep going.
All right. Anyways, you know, not to be outdone by all the silliness or actually the sad news that's going on in WWE, I'm sure Nikki and Tyler, I don't know about you, Trista, have heard that Bobby Knight resigning Monday from Texas Tech.
Correct.
I was heartbroken.
I heard, and they threw a cheer at him on the way out.
You know, there's also rumors he's going to go into the furniture sales business.
No, he is not. The rumors that we're talking about here is that he might end up going to TNA.
But TNA already has a perfectly good coach in Kevin Nash.
Oh, for the love of God, TNA, don't do this crap again.
No, here's the thing. Adam Pac-Man Jones was hampered because he couldn't wrestle under the law of the guidelines through the NFL. Bobby Knight does not have that restriction, and he would be brought in as a manager / head coach.
Right. You know, I love TNA, and I've watched them, and they're a decent alternative. I just don't like the fact that every time a controversial celebrity type comes around, TNA goes, ooh, let's drop some money on them. And, you know, they've got plenty of great talent. Utilize the talent you've got first, and then start bringing in other people.
Are they worried that just because they dropped .11 this week, that they're going to need a loudmouth coach who might not necessarily follow the script when they hand him a microphone?
And going back to the SmackDown thing a bit, Tech2105 from the forum on the chat room says, SmackDown becomes an all-online show!
Ouch.
Ooh, no. We killed Velocity already that way. No.
We killed Velocity by getting ECW. We can kill SmackDown by getting WCW. That'll be great. Natural Born Thrillers.
Well, I would love to see Mike Sanders and Evan Courageous again. Bad idea.
No, I'd love to see Sean O'Hare again.
First, he needs to get back into shape. And Mark Jindrak isn't a bad view either, but I'll take Sean O'Hare first.
I'd take them both. I'm hardcore like that.
Sean O'Hare is the devil.
Well, he isn't telling anything that you haven't already known.
True.
The fact that all the stuff that he made Spanky do made him worth every penny.
Brian Kendrick, before he went to 0-1.
Right. When Spanky did the singing telegram for Biker Taker, or reinvented the Nike commercial by running around a SmackDown arena wearing nothing but a scarf and a pixelation.
good times. And didn't he get Diva to go topless? Don Marie, I believe.
She only did it because she wanted to cross it off that night.
I'm sorry, I keep thinking of Jack, but that was later.
No, this was a Sean O'Hare doing.
I can't remember who it was because I know it wasn't Jackie Gata. That was too. It was that. That was after. That happened after he was gone.
Yeah, it was Don Marie.
Okay.
Convinced Don Marie to take her shirt off because she's classy. It's my favorite.
She walks back in, and I'd welcome her.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Me personally, I'm just looking for anything that's a reminder of the classic ECW, so Dawn Marie, I mean, hell, I'd welcome her back with open arms. I'm just, after watching some stuff on YouTube, I got all, like, I don't know, I guess you'd say heartfelt or, like, get, like,
nostalgic.
Yes, nostalgic. Every time I watch old ECW clips with Raven and Sandman, I'm just like, that's what wrestling is, not the bullcrap you have on now. That's wrestling, this is not. That's wrestling, this is not. Okay, so better now.
As we need to fix Tyler's rant about as quickly as we need to fix my smart.
Right. Sorry about me not being, talking about that. I had gotten an email from eBay about a purchase of mine that has not came in yet. It's been over 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Did you bid on the...
It was Top Gun 1 and Top Gun the Second Mission.
Yes, okay.
Games.
Hey, Rob.
Okay.
Yeah, Tyler?
Quickly, speaking of eBay, I just won, what was it? I think it was 12 buy one, get one free pizza coupons from Papa John's for only $6-7. For 12 buy one.
Weird purchases on eBay from Tyler Brown.
Hey, it'll save you money. Think about it.
Now, I'll give you one that's not going to save anybody any money. The WWF title belt that Curt Hennig destroyed on a Saturday night's main event has shown up on eBay, and I think it has. Did it have a starting bid? I don't know if this is the starting. The belt is going for $10,000 and has 50 plus offers on it. I don't have I don't have the number for it though.
Do you have the link?
Nice.
I don't have a link, Tyler. I'm sorry.
Okay.
My info comes from PW Headlines, and they didn't put the numbers on it.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Now we talked about the importance, the three big stuff. Let's talk about some other important stuff that's going on the shows right now. The Punk-Charlo feud, and what has to be a shirt candidate for this year's Gooker, the Gulf of Mexico match.
Oh, that was fun. I thought it was a fun match, but matches like those are a little on the slow side. It's very hard to do one where you have to leave the arena and still make it compelling. They should have just done a parking lot match a la Cena-Eddie Guerrero.
I understand that this was done way before the show actually aired.
Hmm.
I'm talking about before the show actually taped.
I don't know, because it was awful dark out there when they started playing around. And shows usually start about 7:30 if you're talking both shows.
It was about 7:30 p.m. I take it that they started taping on the T-Test 2 hours ahead.
Texas, Corpus Christi, that's still Central, right?
Yeah, that's Central.
So they would have started at 6:30 to ensure a ECW was going to be live.
However, it was not done live. It was taped.
I still think it was done close to the actual time of the show.
But what are the odds that around 5 they actually taped the finish of the Punk Chavo Gulf of Mexico match?
Slim, because of how dark it was outside.
I understand. Okay, now we're going to talk about the return of one of your favorite wrestlers, Nikki. Stevie Richards.
I was so happy at that interview. I just worry that they're going to let him do some neat stuff for a couple of weeks, and then he's going to fall off the radar again.
You mean like in his feud with Kevin Thorne?
Precisely.
Hmm. Anyways, if you guys want to call in, the number is 646-716-9678. We'd love to hear from you, hear your questions, your comments, what have you.
Oh, okay, Rob, what do you think of the situation with Tommy Dreamer playing second to Colin Delaney?
You mean playing mentor to Colin Delaney?
Yes.
I like to think of it as an early current day era from Cactus Jack and Mikey Whipwreck.
I thought you'd find that familiar.
The only difference is, when it comes to mentoring, I kind of put Cactus Jack higher on the list than I do Tommy Dreamer.
But I think Tommy's at that point in his career that I'd find it very believable. Who's there?
Starbucks.
Hey, it's Tommy.
Hello.
What's going
on? How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, keep talking. I was just going to... I don't know if you guys wind up talking about TNA predictions. I noticed on there it said you might go over the pay-per-view later on. I might be able to contribute to that or something like that. So, yeah, I'll chime in.
We might want to get there.
Okay, well, what are you guys talking about right now? I just, Tommy Dreamer or something? I missed the very, very when I first called in.
Oh, we were discussing Tommy Dreamer mentoring Colin Delaney.
I actually missed that this week.
What happened was, it was a regular match between John Morrison and Tommy Dreamer. However, Morrison had a Miz Long with him, and Tommy Dreamer brought up the heavily bandaged Colin Delaney, who, if he had half twice as many bandages on him, he'd make a great impersonation of the Yeti.
Well, has it been 7 years since we've had the Yeti?
95, yeah.
So I think we're about due for another one. Okay, according to Cornette's law, so that's fine.
He's a little smaller this time, but...
Well, I don't know what's going on, what happened to Ron Rice.
Yeah, did he just disappear from the earth or something?
Yeah, I think he did.
I'm still here. I'm putting together a puzzle of it. And because I haven't seen ECW yet, I really don't know what to say.
Hold on. We're getting massive amounts of feedback here. Nikki, do you have your Bluetooth on?
Yes, I do.
I think, from what I remember from last week, that was the cause.
How's that?
And I've actually been listening the whole time as well, and there's been an echo throughout the entire show. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not, but it's definitely coming through. I mean, you can still hear, but there's definitely an echo there.
My apologies. It's just I get a crink in my neck if I'm gonna have the phone there for an hour.
We understand.
It went away. Cool.
I'll try to get the I'll get my Skype phone up this week, and that should help things a lot.
Hooray! Hooray for Skype. Thankfully, I don't have the crick in the neck problem. Anyway.
I love Skype.
Don't worry.
That's what I use.
Also on ECW, we had Kofi Kingston from Jamaica.
Bo, bo, bo. I like him.
Bo, bo, bo. You mean blow, 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 spot.
I got it.
Sorry. I didn't think I was actually going to laugh out of that. His first televised match was absolutely horrible. Man, he's getting there.
I think you give him a couple more matches, and you give him a feud, and he'll be right there.
I'm trying to be nice because he's been doing dark matches on and off since last April.
You guys want to hear a really bad joke about Kofi Kingston?
Sure.
I think his finishing move should be called the Kofi Grinder, like a coffee grinder.
Thank you.
I was looking for the boo, actually. That's why I told you it was a bad joke ahead of time. I'm not
kick him off. Lenny, just leave.
Boo this man!
Sorry, but hey, we never caught your name.
It's Lenny.
Yeah, this is Lenny again.
I had so much fun
2 weeks ago. Yeah, I figured I'd give you guys a call back again and see. I won't talk as much as I did last time. That's why I figured I'd just chime in. You know, whatever you guys are talking about.
Let's discuss Peyton Banks.
Yeah, we had this big conversation 2 weeks ago between me, Trista, and Lenny from the Rustgrab forums about Tracy Brooks' boobs and if they were real or not.
They're fake. I proved they were fake. Do I have to do this again? Like,
no.
They're fake.
Funny. No comment.
Well, let's ask the resident expert about boobs. Tyler?
Hey, look, a tree.
It's having a little fun here, ladies and gentlemen.
If you guys talked about boobs every week, I think you'd have, like, a lot more callers, probably.
I could have my own radio show, and all it would be about would be the fake boobs in wrestling, and it would probably be more than an hour, because I find them to be absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know what?
I don't know, you have to look at every single diva in WWE.
I can do that.
But look at the TNA knockouts, so I would say a lot of the more recent ones they've been hiring actually do not have fake boobs. The ones who do have fake boobs are the ones who, like, came from WWE, like Shelly or Gail Kim.
Gail's got fake ones. I've got pictures of her pre-boob job.
If you hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
Another caller?
Yeah.
Cool.
You switched to the
caller, you're on the air. Hello.
And then we're called it. Broadcasting raw live from my house. Boom, boom! I'd rather watch two old women smack my ass. I love this song. That's as tough as a chunk of my ass.
What was
nice.
That?
Whoever called in, I applaud you. That's the Jim Ross My Ass song from YouTube.
Oh.
You
should
just say, no. If we're going to have you, we need 99 words for boobs.
He goes, 30 men will enter. My ass. Just go to YouTube and type in, do a search on Jim Ross, my ass. It's only like a minute long. It's the funniest shit ever.
I can't believe our intelligent discussion about women's boobs and wrestling was interrupted by that song.
It could have been worse. We could have been interrupted by a PN news rap.
Or an RNN update.
Hey, being interrupted by RNN is an honor.
My shoulder is up to 42% mobility.
Yay. Actually, those were good promos.
I
should not
have to admit it.
Now, then what happened? Did Randy Orton fire his cue card writer or something?
Whenever WWE gets a funny character, that they want to start pushing seriously, they make him stop being funny. Like, Orton was, those RNN things were clearly supposed to be, like, funny skits, where he'd be like, my shoulder mobility is up 3%. I mean, that was supposed to be funny. And then all of a sudden, he turned into serious Randy Orton because they wanted to push him harder. And kind of like Kennedy, you know, he's not really that funny anymore like he used to be, which saddens me because I thought he was hilarious about a year ago. And now he's just, I mean, I like him still, but, you know, he's not, like, funny like he used to be. He's always serious and whatever. And I don't know. WWE and TNA are opposite ends of the spectrum. With TNA, they have too much comedy, and WWE doesn't have enough comedy, it seems. So,
I think with WWE and TNA, when it comes to comedy characters, is that WWE will see it and be like, hey, look, it's getting over. We should kill it as soon as we can. And TNA is like, hey, look, it's getting over. Let's shove this down their throat as often as possible.
And put it on a pole.
Oh, hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the Matt Hardy facts when he was version 1?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was gold, especially when we did the when they did the WrestleMania one for WrestleMania 19.
That was such a good way for him to get over. It worked out awesome for him.
They wound up in a video game too. One of the SmackDown games had the Matt Hardy facts for his entrance. It was hilarious.
I believe it was Here Comes the Pain.
That was a good game. That was probably the last one I really enjoyed, and then they all kind of went downhill from there.
If YouTube had been around when that was really starting to get over, I wanted that entrance. The download and the Matt facts and the whole nine yards. That was just beautiful stuff.
So it'd be Nikki facts. I can survive a tornado!
Actually, I hate to correct you here, but I think the actual song went, I can slap a tornado.
I always thought it was Spirit, but that's just me.
It's time to look up those lyrics and name that tune.
Thank you, Jim Lang.
We have gone completely off topic.
Actually, I'm correct. Those are the correct words. I can slap a tornado. I can dry up a sea. Anyways.
When I live for the moment, something's...
It's my show, damn it.
There ain't no one greater than me.
Another thing with the comedy gimmicks, Ring of Honor, when they see one getting over, they just keep it as it is, and they don't do anything. Like, they do...
I think Delirious fits that role.
Exactly. Like, no, I'm thinking, like, Delirious and, like, Sweet and Sour Incorporated, because they're, like, greatest thing ever.
Delirious is the...
Damn it, Dempsey.
Like,
go look up Delirious and Jericho. That is the best 5 minutes of YouTube you'll find for a while.
Yes. Jericho, you know what? WWE should hire Delirious and just make a great tag team between Chris Jericho and Delirious. The promos would be awesome.
The one that I'm mentioning on YouTube is just, like I said, is amazing. Jericho doesn't miss a beat. Going through the whole thing. Let's Delirious babble. And then turns around and says, yes, he used to be an auctioneer.
And we have some random Matt facts for you.
Oh, you found some.
Matt speaks better English than Funaki.
Well, that's hard.
Matt has 44 different action figures.
Most of them of himself.
Matt doesn't waste time making his bed.
Smart man.
I remember this one from the Halloween show. Matt always got more candy than his brother.
Aww.
Well,
it was candy, though. Oh!
Oh!
Ding!
I'm going to get shot.
Where's the Jericho burn? Oh, wait, it's a phone call. We can't have animation, but Jericho would be saying, burn right now.
He's your imagination.
Jericho, if you're out there, call in and burn.
God.
Yeah,
I think I've seen that animation followed by the limo exploding.
Okay, I have a question for you. I want to get to TNA. The big pay-per-view is coming up against the Laws. It'll be in South Carolina at the Bilo Center.
Okay.
Do you guys honestly think that...
No.
You guys honestly think the X Division will die?
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yes.
No.
It already is. Dead.
You said yes, Tyler?
She said yes, too.
Well, honestly, I think the X Division kind of has died. I think they can bring it back, but honestly, I think it died when Christopher Daniels lost the belt like a year and a half ago. Maybe a little.
Samoa Joe?
Joe had his reign, yeah, when Samoa Joe.
He kind of was overly dominant. I think he kind of killed everybody, and that's, I mean, it was good at the time, but, you know, I think the division never really recovered from it. I don't think they intended to do it. I think they figured he'd be a great champion, and he'd bring everybody else up to his level, but I think kind of the opposite happened was he wound up with the X Division belt. He moved on to bigger, better things, and the X Division belt kind of got lost in the background, much like the Intercontinental belt is with Jeff Hardy right now, and just got kind of forgotten about, and then it became an afterthought. That's my how I saw it.
The good thing that came out of Joe's title reign, though, was the Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, and Samoa Joe triple threat matches.
Mm.
Not deny the excellence of all of those.
Absolutely. But if they keep it around, then we get to see lots more awesomeness with, like, oh, I don't know, Chris Stevens.
Hurryman.
No.
Yes, he's hot, he's spicy, and he tastes great.
Yay.
Yes, Hurryman for X Division champion. Or Stone Cold Shark Boy.
No.
Yes.
Kill him. I do not want him.
No. Sharkboy's a bomb.
No.
I'll take the parody over the real one any day.
What about... No. You know how you bring some strength back into that division? You put on somebody who's a good wrestler all around, and he can make it credible again. You know how you do that?
Chris Daven.
On Alex Shelley.
No. Tiger Mask.
That'd be interesting.
What one?
I mean, TNA backstage is all over Tiger Mask. They like Tiger Mask. Why not make him your X Division champion? He'll set up. He can also, when he's not working in TNA, he can also use that belt in Japan, maybe bring in some more Japan talent into TNA to beef up their X Division. Because let's be honest, when it comes to solo X Division wrestlers, it's kind of lacking. All you have, pretty much, is Lethal, Williams, Sanjay Dutt, Stone Cold Sharkboy,
Black Machismo, Chris Sabin, Alex.
No, Sabin, Shelley, or Murder City Machine Guns tag team.
So?
Oh, good point.
Because they're a tag team doesn't mean they can't go chasing after the X belt.
Right.
I've never understood that mentality. If you're a tag team, you're individuals too. Go chase some individuals.
And plus, when they do that, it always makes for a great rivalry right after. Then, like,
there you go.
And then the other one's always like, I want it. And then it's like a jealous angle, but with Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley.
And
like,
I got something to mention here. It's time for the fumble of the week.
But I wasn't done talking.
We got a minute.
Yeah, we got a little over a minute to go. And I'm going to bring up the fumble of the week. Speaking of the X Division.
Well, if we're talking about fumbles, Tom Grady.
Quiet in the cheap seats.
Good thing I didn't have money on the Patriots.
Oh. And she chokes on her own joke.
Anyways, fumble of the week belongs to Team 3D.
Dude, they were late.
As everybody remembers, we watched TNA, the X Division title match on Impact. Homicide legitimately had Johnny Devine beat. And Team 3D was very late when it came to the beatdown.
They were quite late.
Yes. The referee counted two, and TNA just came out of the tunnel. So, Homicide, being the good little soldier that he is, pulled him up, you know, knowing full well that he was supposed to get beat down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beatdown then commenced, and then the disqualification. However, they mentioned the bullshit rule that before the rule existed, a titles can't do chant on disqualifications. Then they put in the rule that they can't change hands on disqualification.
It's called the Sting Rule. It only happens if it's Sting.
And also before 2005, when they actually got TNA. Anyways, that's the end of almost the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Nikki Hammond, Tyler Brown, Trista Timpson, Robert Sattelman. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
See you.
An hour, we're in overtime.
Told you an hour wasn't enough.
Show needs to be 3 hours. You need a second hour like TNA needed a second hour.
Can we lobby for that? I want to lobby. Lobby, 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 lobby.
What are we lobbying?
Yes. Can you know how to lobby?
Yes.
Okay,
what are
you
doing?
I'm lobbying. I don't know about anybody else. I'm
lobbying. What are we lobbying?
We need a second hour.
Yeah.
That's the second Highlander, right, Robbie?
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm
yeah,
Robbie.
I'm here.
We're talking about the Highlanders now?
I am Robbie, and I say we are right.
No.
Highlander.
So do they let
I'm
us on the phone here and, like, until we all hang up? We should just
anyways,
start the second
ladies
show.
And gentlemen, okay. When it comes to a second hour, I'd only like to say the second hour for the rest of the show when it comes to special circumstances. Maybe I should have done it tonight, but this one was already scheduled way in advance. Like, after the OVW thing, was that I scheduled the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
That's all right.
I would have called in sooner, but honestly, I don't know anything about OVW, so I would have basically just been listening to you guys anyway. So I was listening since the beginning, though, but I just called in as soon as I got some of the stuff I knew a little more about.
All right.
We didn't talk about the heartthrob. How can we talk about OVW and not mention the heartthrob?
The heartthrob?
Yeah.
I'll mention the heartthrobs when they got stomped, when they would get stomped periodically by the heroes.
And Mo Green?
Banana Man?
If it looks like a duck and talks like a duck, that means it's what?
Todd Grisham's wife.
Grisham's wife, that's the correct answer.
Oh, dear.
Hey, by the way,
look, a damsel in distress.
By the way, have y'all heard that Paul Heyman now has a new. I think it's an online show thing going on soon.
Oh, hold on.
Heyman Hustle.
Oh, hold on. I got to pull up the commercial.
You have a commercial?
I still don't know what it is. I see it advertised. I have no idea. Is it a reality show? Well, if you're pulling up the commercial, I'll listen to it. I have no idea what it even is.
It's going to be internet-based, if I understood it correctly. And I sent a note to RVD saying they need to get together and do a show, one way or the other, whether it's a Heyman Hustle or RVD.
Hold on. There are two commercials. They just put up a second one.
Ooh.
Here's the first one.
Got together to do a show. Wouldn't it just be like weeds?
Hold on. Here is the first show. Here's the first promo. Then we'll play the second one.
Hey, sir, show me you.
By the network. Held back by few in it. Restrained by media moguls. Now. Exclusively in the Sun, Paul Heyman gets to speak his mind.
Heyman Hustle, coming soon to the Sun.
Here, Paul Heyman, that's a kidney stone.
You missed the punchline.
I heard him pass a kidney stone.
Then he said, I need some lip balm, because they had sealed his mouth with gaffer's tape.
Mm.
Now, Rob, I only see one commercial on the page. I don't know where you see two.
YouTube.
Wow.
They got everything.
Okay, here is the second commercial.
Extra, extra, read all about it. The rumors about me are true. I couldn't be controlled by cable TV. I couldn't be contained by pay-per-view. And I'm way too extreme for a news organization that has no bite. I'm just so sick of wrestling with my conscience. the Heyman Hustle will expose the truth exclusively in the Sun. You know, I don't want to be accused of false modesty, so I was the first wrestling promotion on the Internet, the first sports entertainment property on DVD. You're talking about a track record of innovation and success, and I believe in the Hustle so much, I put my name on it.
How about that?
Dear Uncle Paul.
When I first heard about Heyman's Hustle, I thought it was going to be a movie, and then I got really excited because then I thought it would be like Pool Hall Junkies, and it's nothing like that.
You know, the only thing I must say, as far as RBD TV, it's a paid service, which, you know, he's got to make money, but, you know, $3.95. What is? Do you know anybody know the prices on the RVD TV show?
I do, because he got in touch with me about it because he wanted me to subscribe. It's $10 a month and I think $100 a year.
Holy crap!
He got me a freebie subscription because he asked me to listen to Waves of Zen, which is in his first episode, and he nearly killed me. By doing his stretch, spouting Zen philosophy, he's doing this out on his deck, wearing no shirt.
That sounds about like Van Damme.
Yummy.
Yummy is right. Trista, catch me. I'm going to faint.
I may have to move. He's good luck.
True.
With that. Good luck. That's about it. Talented.
But,
I
don't know, but he could probably bounce a quarter off of his ass, though.
Dude.
Send my shirt. If you're listening, they're driving me crazy.
We still have money on here, guys. I'm sorry, Lynn.
Save me, Zen Meister. Save me.
My dear friend.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yes, but you know the Bloom County version.
No, I was talking about the Simon and Garfunkel version.
Okay. Let's see if I don't know. The Bassalope didn't get to finish it. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You've come to sleep with me again. With the vision softly. And he gets cut off. Simon and Garfunkel isn't exactly what we're looking for a heavy metal band. Oh, I'll throw in some lewd gestures. No.
Oh, by the way, speaking of WrestleCrap Radio, they're not going to be doing a show next week. However, they did do a show this week. And, by the way, I think I told everybody who goes to WrestleCrap forums that I know that who Blade slept with in the Katie Vick outfit.
Excuse me?
The person who wore the Katie Vick outfit. I know who that is.
This has nothing to do with us. I don't think we should be talking about this.
Okay. I'm afraid to ask.
I've been sworn to secrecy about it, but I'm still sworn to secrecy about it.
Doggone it.
Is it a signed contractual deal?
I know who it wasn't.
Yeah, R.D. Reynolds.
It wasn't me either.
It wasn't John Morrison.
Damn. He makes everything look
I'm
good.
I'm confident about that. I'll put money on that. It was not John Morrison.
Yeah, definitely.
It couldn't have been him. That was 2002.
They don't cross-dress in the Palace of Wisdom. I mean, they do, but not that much.
Yeah.
They don't wear a lot of clothes at the Palace of Wisdom, thank God.
Clothes are optional at the Palace of Wisdom.
Well, that's fine. I mean, all I'm counting is abs again. And again. And again.
And again.
Oh, and again. My math sucks. I've got times.
Now, what about The Miz? He'd be a good comedy guy.
Hoorah.
Who?
Right.
Who what? Who cares?
They should just fire The Miz.
I'm
basing that strictly on the fact that I don't like him. and they should listen to me specifically on everything.
The Miz needs a new status, and I think he should be the ultimate jobber to the stars.
Who, Miz?
Yes.
It works for me. No, he's all right. He's not that bad. I just don't know. I find him really annoying, which I guess technically makes him a good heel, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, and trust me, I'm not with you on that. It's, you know, after him stumbling through the Diva Search that one year.
Oh, yeah.
And just the fact that, yes, he is insanely annoying. He has improved in the ring. I will say that. He has improved. But I swear to God, if I ever meet him, I'm not sure if I'm going to shake his hand or punch him in the nuts. I haven't decided.
Why not shake his hand first and then pull him close and knee him in the nuts?
Or shake his nuts and punch him in the hand.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Who knew that, man?
What is this show rated? Am I allowed to say that?
Okay. It's internet.
Oh, yeah. Two Girls, One Cup is on the internet. We're tame. Is this even still broadcasting, or is this just, I mean, is this like...
archive.
This is broadcast.
This is bonus.
Oh, okay, cool.
But on a side note...
Please don't bring that up.
But as a side note, Two Girls, One Cup is not boner.
No! No, absolutely not. That will get you hung up on.
That sounds like the name of a good pay-per-view.
Hung up.
The Two Girls, One Cup. TNA presents Two Girls, One Cup this Sunday on paper. That would be awesome.
Awesome con at ODB.
Actually,
I deserve that. You're too kind.
They should totally name the next Shimmer DVD that. And I own them all.
God.
So I'll joke about it. Yeah. Two girls, one ring. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Two girls, one belt.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that's not that bad of an idea. Two girls, one belt.
Yes.
It would be a little inside joke.
I have not been to that site yet. You will not make me go to that site. I will put my cursor on the link before I click it. I know better.
Why, you can do that?
Some applications, when a link comes up, you can actually put your cursor on it, and it'll tell you, this is where it's going to go.
The more you know, eh? Wow.
Unless you're being Rickrolled, you have no clue until you actually click it.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
Twang.
Should I really be doing half of the show with the phone away from my ear? Like,
it probably wouldn't hurt.
Is this the part where CM Punk shows up in the mariachi costume and hits Rob? Yes,
you know, I'd rather not be CM Punk. You know who I'd rather take a guitar shot from?
Jarrett.
New Jack.
Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, God.
Because if I'm going to get hit by somebody with a guitar, I'd rather have it be part of his gimmick.
Do you guys ever see that one? I don't remember. It was one of the WWE DVDs, and Ricky Steamboat talked about he got hit in the head with a guitar with... Honky Tonk's guitar, and apparently the guitar was not gimmicked like it was supposed to be. It wasn't
toy
or whatever.
I know who you're talking about, but you got the wrong wrestler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, who was? I just know it was somebody got hit, like, from the 80s.
Jake Roberts.
Was it Jake? Okay. Yeah.
It was Jake.
Like a real guitar.
Really messed up his body.
Yeah, that's right. He hit him with it, and it didn't break away like it was supposed to, and he, like, legitimately got, like, hit in the head with a real guitar, and he like got a bump on his head or something, got knocked out or something.
And
he got knocked out cold.
Isn't that the start of his whole pain pill addiction thing? Because his mouth still messed up after that. Yeah,
right.
I don't think he.
I have pieces of a gimmicked guitar.
Really? That's cool.
I I ended up getting a couple of pieces from one of Jarrett's guitars after lockdown. So I got to see the inside of it. I could, how you gimmick the guitar to do that?
It's magic.
How you gimmick the guitars? You could probably have them custom made to do that for you.
I actually think they go through the trouble of getting actual guitars, but then they open them up and take care of and do the rest. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to give this one away or not.
I think you might be right on that one.
One of the best lines
specialty
ever.
Guitars, which, to be honest, if you acoustic guitars are pretty cheap nowadays.
You know, one of my favorite lines ever about the Smashing Guitars was it was in the 80s. It was like when Honky Tonk Man first hit Macho Man Randy Savage with the guitar. And he smashed the guitar over his head and knocked him out. And Jesse Ventura goes, "Well, it's a good thing Honky doesn't play the piano." I just thought that was, to this day, I still laugh at that. That was, I don't know if he just thought of that line or if he planned it out ahead of time, but because I'm just picturing Honky Tonk Man lifting a piano over his head and, you know, that was.
No, I got an idea. Honky Tonk Man be a keyboardist.
Yeah, with a keyboard.
Over the head of a Casio, now you're talking. Actually, my favorite guitar joke comes from Jeff Jarrett. This was in WCW. He actually referred to his guitar as a kabonger. And I...
What about... I remember Scott Hudson called it acoustic equalizer.
Hmm.
Okay,
that's funny.
That is extremely funny.
They need to get a gimmick where they have the one guy that plays the guitar and the other guy can be a drummer, and then the drummer just won't do anything at all because he's a drummer.
You love
the
drummer.
You know what would get the rock and rave infection over?
What's that?
When they try to heal it up more, that's what they're trying to do. When they're losing a bit in a match and they want to win, Jimmy Rave would take the Guitar Hero guitars, the ugly-ass Guitar Hero 2 guitars that they have, just take that guitar and just smash it over somebody's head.
No, you know what they should do is if, when they're down, is that they should get it and, like, pretend they use the star power from it, and then it would, like, power them up like Mario does when he gets the star or whatever.
There you go! Ding, ding, ding!
Oh, wow! But that's, isn't that gimmick infringement? We've already got a game wrestler out there.
Whatever.
I'm sure there's a Santino joke in here somewhere. I'm trying to find it.
Speaking of Carlito and Santino, they're number one contenders for the tag titles.
Santino?
Santana.
Cantina?
Sandusky!
I didn't think of Cantina. I stole that from the actual WWE website.
Oh.
When Jericho came back, you know, for the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks,
that was some
of the greatest promo work I've seen ever. Nowadays, he got into a super serious. He's now in a super serious feud with JBL and
that's
gone now.
Give him props for part of his serious. Where he's like, well, everybody knows the internet. And he rattled off 6 catchphrases in 15 seconds. You gotta give the man credit.
And I got another question for you guys. Would you honestly buy Snitsky as a, you know, somebody who's at upper mid card status?
No,
absolutely not.
I would love it.
Be asking this. One of the biggest Snitsky fans on here.
Do I think he seriously should be one? No, but I've just been pathetic Snitsky mark ever since his debut match, so he could do anything, and he's awesome to me. Ever since that very first match, you know, and then the next week he came out and said it wasn't my fault, and I mean, he was just like one of those guys that was just so bad, he was funny. Like, his early promos were, like, robotic. Like, he was like, when I hit Lita, it wasn't my fault, and then, you know, the whole thing where he started licking Maria's feet and stuff, I just think he's, like, hilarious. He's not funny nowadays, he's, of course, serious, you know, big yellow tooth monster. They totally need to bring back the old Snitsky, but I don't think they ever will.
You know what? Here's the thing. You know the Snitsky they have now? That was a creation of Uncle Paul. And he had And here's what, and I remember reading the interview in The Sun, here's what he wanted to happen for the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to have Big Show and Punk. Punk would choke out Big Show in 4.5 minutes. Big Show agreed to this.
Well, he knew he wasn't, he was in such bad shape, he was fine with it. He just wanted to get his part of it done. And people
right.
would have paid attention because, hey, the champ's already out.
Right. And when it came to late 2006, really late 2006, I would not have bought Punk as a champion then and there because he just debuted.
Right. And you can't go, I will admit, you can't go off the opinion of 2,500 smarts in the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Right.
And Vince wouldn't listen to him anyway.
And
but.
Then you got, I'm just trying to run down my head all the combatants on there.
Bobby Lashley, RVD, Bob Holly substituting for Sabu, who they stretchered out for whatever reason to keep him from going in the chamber. He was not hurt. He was just in trouble.
Test?
Test was in there, I think.
Test and Show. Okay, there we go.
Right.
RVD, CM Punk, Bob Holly, Bobby Lashley.
Out of all those people, as much as I hate to say it, looking at all these guys and who was not in trouble and who you would buy as a credible champion.
If you say Test, I'm hanging up.
I hate to say it, but they did. They had the right winner, but the rest of it was just so bad.
Lashley?
Yeah, I
no,
hate
I'll
to say
I'll
it,
give
but
them that, because there was just room in on the A or B show at the time to put a belt on Lashley.
However, they did. They put the U.S. title on him to build him up, and
mm-hmm.
then Finlay took it from him. And then Benoit took it from Finlay. And then Jim Neidhart. Yeah,
though.
Jim Neidhart.
Sorry, the revisionist thinking on my part.
Yeah. And then MVP has it, and he still has it to this day.
Right. And he hasn't doesn't defend it very often.
And I think that's the
you gotta look at it though. Like any time you can tell they're building up to like a finally like a U.S. title match between MVP, one of them gets injured.
That's true because this whole thing was supposed to lead to a U.S. title feud between him and Matt Hardy.
And Hardy's hurt. I don't think MVP has defended since. You know what? I would have loved it if he defended it at the Royal Rumble.
No, it wasn't
on the line when he was fighting Flair, that's for sure.
You know, I wish it were on the line against Flair at the Royal Rumble. Flair would win, he'd have a nice round with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a three-way dance, Flair would not win the match. However, since he did not get pinned, he would still have his career. Because technically he didn't lose.
Technically, but Vince would be a big enough dick to say you didn't win either.
So it'd be a push.
Mm-hmm.
And who currently on the SmackDown roster, Flair would have been a face. I would have put the belt either back on MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would.
Mike Knox.
No. Oh, by the way, Mike Knox. Hold on, Mike Knox will be on SmackDown next week, on ECW next week.
Seriously?
Mike Knox still has a job.
Yeah, Mike Knox still has a job. He's actually wrestling in Florida right now.
And the ratings are gonna go through the roof now that people hear Mike Knox is gonna be on ECW next week.
Well, I actually had a theory about it because notice how he appears in the summer and he disappears in the winter. I'm just thinking he hibernates like a bear, like maybe he sleeps throughout the winter and then in the spring.
That could be a gimmick for him.
He slept through that at Punk back in October.
I just remember they debuted him as the guy who used to cover up Kelly and
don't know. Because
girlfriend. Never went anywhere.
Because boyfriend, excuse me.
Yeah,
well, that's because they finished December to Disaster, the pay-per-view that nobody saw.
Yeah. Oh, did they finish it there?
Essentially, I think it was a mixed tag match, and Mike Knox left her to the Wolves. And
oh, yeah. I heard about it.
Yeah.
He beat her up with flowers, right?
Well, there was that, too. She wanted to go out with Punk. Punk thought it was cute, but wasn't interested.
Knox got pissed
and just hung her out to dry, and then she ended up under the contract of Miz, and Balls Mahoney actually managed to woo her somehow, to which the Extreme Exposé dancers at the time bore a striking resemblance to the Teen Angels to Balls Mahoney's Captain Caveman.
Wow.
It's true. Brooke had shoulder-length brown hair just like Brenda. Layla had a fro just like Dee Dee. Kelly is Taffy.
I have a little fact right here in front of me that has nothing to do with what you were just talking about.
Okay.
According to the online world of wrestling, October 28th, 2007 at Cyber Sunday was the last time MVP defended his U.S. title against Kane.
Hmm.
And that was when he defended it after that against Rey Mysterio.
I don't recall. And even then, his title defense against Kane was pretty out of nowhere because they just needed something else to do. I think because this was, no, Matt hadn't gone out yet.
MVP
or had he?
Mysterio did wrestle each other at Armageddon, but the title was on the line, but Mysterio won by count out anyways. So.
Right. That wasn't a bad match.
It wouldn't be. Like, MVP has improved so much since he debuted, and Rey Mysterio is just a great, like, overall, used to be a great overall wrestler, depends who you put him with now. But, yeah, I can totally see that coming in there.
It was a good match.
I saw MVP, I didn't see it too good. I was at WrestleMania, and I hate to bring up Benoit, but, yeah, it was Benoit against MVP, and it was a really good match, actually. It was, like, very technical, a lot of holds and everything, and the crowd wasn't too hot for it, but it was good, though.
No, it was a very solid technical match.
I didn't like how it ended. I remember watching and just being like, that's it? He never wins with a headbutt.
Right.
Well, he won with a headbutt years ago, back in WCW, before he did the crossface. Before he actually brought the crossface in.
Right.
And you know what, I know something? If I remember correctly, I think he did win with the headbutt before.
He won with the headbutt here and there in WWE.
I remember winning the tag titles with Dean Malenko against Barry Windham and Kurt Hennig at Uncensored 99.
And again, he retained the World Heavyweight title against Kane on a roll-up because nothing else worked.
Kane on a roll-up. What was that? What was that one? Was that the one I sent you?
No, that was Bad Blood 2004. I saw it in person.
Oh, yeah, Bad Blood 2004. I have the DVD.
He tried the sharp four times, couldn't get it. He tried cross-facing off of either arm and couldn't get it to stick. He hit him with the headbutt. He'd hit him with, I think Kane ate like 8 or 9 Germans in this match. And Benoit finally got him on a roll-up.
Hold on, I think I finally got a nice idea for a match.
All right.
Since Kane and MVP have had this long rivalry with each other, and I'm also going back to the Inferno match in 2006, the actual first Inferno match that Kane actually won.
Yes.
Why not have Kane versus MVP and Kane goes over and finally gets a title?
That'd be nice. Well, that was something that came up this evening while I was in the chat room. One of the guys in the room was not as was not and is not and probably never will be a fan of Kane's. And somebody said, well, what would it take, you know, to get people interested in Kane again? And I said, first of all, he needs to start winning some matches. Second of all, he needs to be put in storylines that don't suck. Because every time they put him in a storyline, it's just, you look at it and go, what exactly was the did the label say before you took your prescription?
It's not just that, though. Like, you got to think. I remember I was reading stuff online or whatever, and Kane, like, from what I've heard, he's such, like, when it comes to putting young guys over, he is totally for it. And, like, he doesn't want to win titles because it would take away from the guys that are, like, building themselves up. So, like, yeah, he's in shitty storylines, but, like, that's probably because maybe he wants to be, you know?
But like, nobody wants to be in a shitty storyline. I can understand him. I understand him wanting to put people over. But every now and again, if you want to be convincing of putting people over, you need to go over every now and again. You need to go over.
So
I remember he put
like
MVP seriously over when MVP debuted. That reminds me, I just found out another jobber of the week I need to do.
What's that?
Marty Garner.
I know who that is.
I have no idea who he is.
You lost me.
He's the guy Triple H almost killed in, like, the mid-90s. If you go on YouTube and search for Triple H kill the guy, basically...
No. Wrong one. Marty Garner was MVP's first opponent.
I thought it was the same guy, though.
I don't think so.
That's like a 10-year difference if it's the clip I'm thinking of.
Here, I'll look it up while you guys... I'll find out who the Triple H guy was.
You're talking about the one that Triple H almost killed doing a pedigree and he landed square on his head?
Yeah, because the guy thought he was going up for a butterfly suplex. And,
yeah.
Clip is from, like, 90.
That match was in 95.
Because a couple people keep thinking that was Shawn Michaels that he spiked.
Yeah, that'd be kind of odd because Michaels was Intercontinental Champion at the time.
Well, I'm just saying, they look at the clip. If the clip's not dated, you look quick. You could make the argument, but I know it's not Sean.
Let's see. Well, according to the YouTube comments, some people are saying that it's Marty Garner, but, you know, YouTube comments are even worse than Wikipedia as far as reliability. So they,
check Online World of Wrestling.
What? Wikipedia's not reliable?
Check Online World of Wrestling in No Mercy 2006. They should probably have a clickable link for Marty Garner.
Yeah. Marty Garner. Connecting. All right, I'm just pulling it up now. It's just going super slow. I don't know if it's the site or if it's just my computer sucks. Sorry.
I won't answer that.
Mabel.
There's your problem right there. Do you realize the load time for that?
See.
Yeah, for Big Daddy V.
The computer's mad at you, Lenny, because you're not looking at Barry Casino.
Barry Casino, that's who it was. All right, Marty Garner is best known for his stint in ECW as Puck Dupp, a member of the Dupp family faction. Oh, did not know that. Yeah, it says Marty Garner wrestled Hunter Hearst Helmsley on WWE television and was the victim of a horribly botched pedigree. Doesn't give a date, though, but it's sometime before 2006 because it's, like, toward the top of his list. But, yeah, it's the same guy later on, though. It says Montel Vontavious Porter in-ring debut defeated Marty Garner Jobber.
That's actually kind of cool.
In November 26 of last year, it says Vladimir Kozlov defeated Marty Garner in a dark match. Double E, I didn't know that. Or if I did, I must have forgot because it was that exciting to me.
I've actually got another silly joke about Kozlov that OVW faithful know about, and that's listening to one of the announcers has a problem pronouncing Kozlov for some reason. And he says it in such a way that it sounds like he's saying coleslaw.
Michael Coleslaw.
Vladimir Coleslaw.
Anyways, No Mercy just was a great pay-per-view. It was just a solid pay-per-view all around.
Which year?
2006.
What was that?
Refresh my memory.
Matt Hardy defeated Gregory Helms.
Always a good match.
A Lundrick match versus the Teacher's Pets.
Okay.
Now that's something I gotta... We gotta write an induction for that one, the Teacher's Pets. That one was bad.
Yeah, that didn't last.
It was, because that was all of Idol Steven. They should have let him keep his OVW gimmick.
Mizan had turned 26 years old, so Layla showed up to give The Miz a lap dance. Layla blindfolded The Miz, and Big Dick Johnson appeared and danced around The Miz. Mizan began touching the stripper's breast. Layla L. untied his blindfold to reveal the unpleasant sight.
That's
got the second base of
Big entertainment Johnson. Segment ever.
MVP took on Marty Garner. Mr. Kennedy defeated The Undertaker by disqualification.
Okay, yeah, this was building up to the last ride match they had at Armageddon where Undertaker went off the set. I think it was Undertaker who went off the set.
No, Kennedy went off the set and landed on the hearse.
Okay.
Rey Mysterio defeated Chavo Guerrero in a Falls Count Anywhere match, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Benoit defeated William Regal by submission.
Well, you gotta admit that was a very strong match.
And then the world title four way. And King Booker beat Finley, Lashley, and Batista.
Okay.
You know what? I just figured out something.
Hmm.
Everybody in the WWE you can pretty much associate with one name. And they'll figure it out. Or a set of initials, and they'll figure it out. Like, for example, Regal for William Regal. Finley for David Fit Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Batista for David Batista. Lashley for Bobby Lashley, however he's not there anymore. Kennedy for Ken Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
HBK for Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Trips for Triple H.
Or just Triple H.
Yeah. RKO for Randy Orton. Snitsky
Man
for Park. Snitsky. London for Paul London. Kendrick for Brian Kendrick. Deuce.
Hey,
you have Deuce
hey
and Domino.
We interrupt
this vlog for. I hate to interrupt you, but I got a huge announcement to make. A video sharing site that I've been a part of, live video, for nearly a little over a year. They've been talking a lot about a launch. If y'all want to check it out, it's livevideo.com. They have officially launched their new site. It's fan-fucking-tastic. It's basically like a combination. You got video chat rooms, as well as you can upload your own videos. It's just awesome. And so, yeah, I'm going to hang up from you all and explore the new livevideo.com.
And if you find any wrestling stuff, let us know.
Alrighty. Have a good one, y'all.
Later, Tyler. Right.
Bye.
Peace Take out. Care, Tyler. So who do we have left? Trista, Nikki, and Lenny?
Yeah, and actually about that, I just... Trista, actually, her phone died, and she, like, just sent me a message to tell you guys. I guess she hasn't been on the call for the last couple of minutes, so it's
okay.
Actually just the three of us at the moment.
Alright.
I should probably keep going, too, myself, though.
I hate to make a bad joke right now, but with... Hey, Lenny. Where's Lodi?
Where's Lodi? He's with Mike Knox in hibernation right now.
Here am I.
Or what was that guy? Oh, Reese. Him and Reese are hanging out. They're living in Toledo somewhere.
TMI.
I actually liked Lenny and Lodi. They were hilarious. I like the comedy gimmicks when they're like mid-card. I mean, I still don't like AJ Styles having a comedy gimmick because he should be a little more serious being a main eventer. But, you know, like the comedy tag teams, you know, whether it's Edge and Christian as a tag team or, you know, Lodi and Lenny, Rock and Raven Faction, I just always liked the guys who went, you know, just, you know, for laughs or whatever. And so...
I was joking with somebody about that the other day. We were wondering when Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, alias the Edge clones, would actually like to channel some classic Edge.
That would be funny.
And get the three of them going on a complete comedy gimmick.
Those two should start doing 5-second poses. That would be funny.
I would pay a lot of money to see those two actually reprise a lot of classic ENC stuff.
Of course, that would mean they would have to acknowledge Christian, and they don't like to do that because he works for the competition, but still, I think they should. It would be
Edge
awesome.
Can take credit. Oh, Edge will take credit solo for 5-second poses at this point.
Yeah. I remember when we win the World Tag Team titles, we're going to do a record 37-second pose!
Didn't they count it down on the big screen, too? They had like an actual thing to win. 37, 36, 35. Pretty funny. That was one of my favorite tag teams ever, was Edge and Christian, for the sheer entertainment.
No, you got to go with Team Wreck.
Oh, yeah, was it Rhino?
Rhino, Edge, Christian, Kurt Angle.
Oh, Kurt Angle, okay, I couldn't remember that.
Came across, and I recently came across the video when they introduced Rhino, and I just died laughing. And just the whole way it went down, just... You know, Edge and Christian are like, hey, we got this great, you know, we got somebody to really help us out. Christian, go get the you-know-what. He takes off. And Edge is putting him over, and Rhino comes stomping in like a rabid monster. And Kurt Angle's
like, which would be the proper way to build up Rhino, because in ECW, he was a monster.
And he should still be a monster. And unfortunately, TNA doesn't want to do anything with him.
How much you want to bet WWE would welcome back Rhino?
For one reason and one reason only. Just so they could get rid of that fucking high spots belt that Chavo's carrying around.
You know what I would do, though?
Hmm.
Make Rhino a deal. You give us the real belt, we'll push you hard, but not on ECW, we'll push you hard on SmackDown. You're going to be unstoppable. We'll push you to the moon.
It could work.
This works because out of everybody on the roster currently, who has worked the closest with Edge? And you add Rhino to the mix, Rhino would be the one who worked closest.
Oh, yeah. I would put him there, but I would have him do at least some work on ECW first. I would love to see him come storming in with the real belt and just point at whoever's the champion. Hell, if Chavo's, you know, by some miracle, Chavo's still champion by this time. And he just stomps in and runs him over and says, you and your toy can go home now. And what you have is an instant feud
between Chavo and his family.
Yeah, Chavo would have his whole familia backing him up against Rhino, who just mows everybody over, except maybe Edge. And in that, good Lord, you know, the history. Which would be the perfect transitional work to get him from ECW to SmackDown. You do the ECW stuff where either he keeps the belt and, you know, is pretty much in charge on ECW, outside of Armando, of course, where, you know, he is the dominant champion and, you know, it takes he can run over Big Daddy V. He can run over Mark Henry. He can run over Mike Knox. That's just kind of fun.
He could put down Big Daddy V.
Yeah. And Edge tries to recruit him into Familia, and when Rhino turns him down, Familia turns on Rhino. He loses the ECW title. He goes to SmackDown and just kills everybody trying to get to them.
It'd be the battle of the spear versus the gore.
Oh yeah.
But I have to admit something.
What's that?
They gotta retain Rhino's WWE theme.
Yes, I like that. I do like that one.
Because I don't mean to cut you off. I gotta get going here. I just didn't want to hang up. I just wanted to at least let you guys know. But yeah, it's been nice talking with you guys again. I'll have to keep listening to the show here.
Awesome.
All right, take care, Lenny.
All right, talk to you later.
Later.
All right,
man.
Peace out.
Bye.
Blah.
Well, now it's just you and just me.
Scary, isn't it?
The way that it was ever since show one.
Well, I think we should be wrapping up soon anyway, because it's coming on to 1 o'clock in the morning here.
You're right. All right, big finish.
Big finish?
All right, ready for a big finish?
Sure.
Now, I'll ask you some rapid-fire stuff like they do on PTI, okay? Sorry to rip them off.
Hey, let's do it.
Okay, Cena versus Zorn and Backlash, who wins? I mean, no way out, who wins?
I see Cena picking it up so that Triple H can win the Elimination Chamber and the two of them face off at WrestleMania. Hunter might get his receipt from WrestleMania 22.
I agree with you there to a point. Ric Flair fights at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels. Does he retire?
That'd be a great place to do it. Shawn doesn't need the rub. That's why I'm taking Orton out of the title picture. I think it'll be Orton versus Flair. And Orton gets the dubious honor.
Boo.
But you see it.
Good point. Actually, it fits his old gimmick.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking about. TNA pay-per-view tonight, we have Angle and Christian. Does Samoa Joe interfere?
Samoa Joe is the guest enforcer. I'd be watching for AJ.
You watch for AJ Styles?
Yes.
All right. Rock and Rave Infection, will they actually use those guitars as weapons?
No, because they're more expensive than the cheesy gimmicked guitars.
Well, our time will trade you better the next time. I'm Robert Seidelman.
This is Nikki Heyman.
EWC. EWC. PDI. Night, Nikki.
Night.